Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Reading once again the letter of the Lord Jesus to the church at Thyatira, written by John, recorded in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 18. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience and thy works, the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not known this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put none other burden on you. But that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's give thanks for these words and pray that we will have ears to hear them. Our Father, we give thanks for thy way in Christ, the new and living way. We give thanks for him who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He who is the author and the finisher of our faith, and he who especially laid down his life that he might be the object of our faith, that we might have faith in his death and his shedding his blood, his resurrection, and all that he has done and all that he is, all that he has said. We pray, Father, that we might hear his words here as they were spoken after thy going up to heaven, Lord Jesus, and declaring that thou art the Son of God. We pray that that might be believed by all nations and tongues and tribes, that we might know it to be true, and that we may know that without that, that there is no teaching that is truly true and right, that that is even the heart of our salvation, the heart of the right way to be reconciled with thee, Father. And we pray that we may know that for ourselves, that we may know it also for others that do not believe it, and that must be called to repentance and called to faith in Christ as thy Son and the one who took on him the form of a man. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that thou wilt thyself teach us as this church here today, both the church and the world, that thou wilt call sinners out of the wilderness of sin and unbelief to thyself. We pray for thy blessing in the church. We pray for thy blessing in the world. We pray also, Father, for the temporal blessings needed for those in suffering. We give thanks for the blessing that we have and food and raiment and so many other things, shelter, home, when others are homeless, hungry, suffering and fear, sorrow, the terribleness of the wars. And we pray especially that where there are these terrible sufferings and deaths, that it might be seen as coming from a lie that has been propagated and a lie that is believed, and many killing both others and sometimes even themselves because of that lie, and that it might be seen to be a lie, that it is from Satan, the liar, the murderer. And we pray, Father, that especially the church might do as thou hast said, Lord Jesus, before thy ascension, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in all nations and among all nations in thy name, that we may have that remission of sins, that we may have that forgiveness. And we pray that we might also have repentance, repentance from every evil way and every evil thought, every evil doctrine. We pray, Father, for those who suffer, that thou wilt look in mercy on them in hunger and homeless, war-torn lands, those in sickness and injury, those in sorrow, older age. We pray especially for the broken homes. We pray, Father, for those to be reconciled with each other and with thee through Christ. We pray for the children in those homes. We pray for the schools that are teaching error and lies. We pray for the needs of the workplace. In every way, Father, that we might look to thee and be made to in all of our ways acknowledge thee and have thee direct our paths through Christ. Amen. As we look once again at this church here, the letter to them, and the many things that the Lord Jesus spoke to them, it's a longer letter than some of the other ones. Some of the other ones, only a few verses. Here there are more, and a longer letter. Many things stated of himself first, the Son of God. We sometimes speak of different religions, and some people want to speak of them all being alike. But there's only one book, one teaching that declares that this person who is writing, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel, he says. And he was called that because he would save his people from their sins. An angel gave that name to Joseph and for Mary to name the baby Jesus, the Lord Jesus, the one who came down, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and then took on him the form of a man. We may not understand it all, but it is to be believed. And through believing it, we know both who he is and what he did on the cross, died, was buried, rose again, went to heaven. There are many that call themselves religious people that deny that and do not believe the truth of which the Lord Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, then are you my disciples, the truth will set you free. Oh, how many are in bondage and fear without that true witness of God's Spirit, that our sins are forgiven. There may be many that hope it to be true, but we can only know it to be true when we're taught by God because of Christ, the Son of God, and then believing in his name. We must again and again be told that, because too often we will compromise and we will say, well, others know the same God. No, no, no. We can only know the only true God through his Son, Jesus Christ, as he said, and it's true. And I believe it with all my heart that no man can come to the Father except through the Lord Jesus. He is the one who not only said, I'm the Son of God, he said also he had eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. He was at this time in heaven and sitting at the right hand of the Father, as he's described, different places after he died, paid the penalty for our sin, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And from that place, he sees all of us with his eyes as a flame of fire. And he can say, I know thy works. And for this church, charity, service, faith, patience. And then again, thy works, mentioning that twice, and seeming to refer to different works, as he said, the last to be more than the first. The first work that we must do, as we have seen in the past, is believing on Christ. When they asked him, what work shall we do that we may do the works of God? He said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he have sent. And it is a work that is actually grace. It is a work that brings salvation. Believing on Christ for the remission of our sins, for the forgiveness, for the adoption into God's family. And when that is believed, and the Spirit teaches us that, and that gives the witness that we have believed it rightly, we can have that comfort, the witness of the Spirit, that we are then, through Christ, God's children. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There are many that have not heard that message, and I fear there's many that hear it, but only half-heartedly. Do not know it in their need. Know it only as some of the Jews, one of them particularly, that the Lord Jesus described when he said, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. We are like others, all of us, in the church and in the world. Every place, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. That's how this church had its beginning, and only because of that it could be a true church. But now, though there were good things, there was also that sad thing. I have a few things against thee. Thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess. She was a wicked prophetess, a false prophetess, teaching evil things. There have been good prophetesses. We can read of Philip in the book of Acts, that he had These four daughters that were prophesying, they were true prophetesses. And there was Deborah in the Old Testament. But here was one that taught wrongly to seduce God's servants, to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And he somehow, some way, called her to repentance, probably through the angel of the church that this letter was written to, unto the angel of the church. And each one has that description. And he says, I called her to repentance, but she repented not. And then once again gives the warning, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins of the hearts, and I will give to every one of you according to your works. I think we could say more or less God does. He doesn't do it fully. If he did it to all of our works, we would all have death. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth it shall die. And thankfully, when we come to know that Christ died in our place, we don't get what our works deserve, what our works have earned. But still, God can bless or curse to a great extent, and sometimes has to judge us in judgment, sometimes gives us chastisements that bring us back to him. When he says, as many as I love, I chasten. Here he is chastening with the word. But he also chastened in terrible things when he said, I will kill her children with death. And all the churches will know it. What a severe chastening that was at that time. And we do not know how it all unfolded. But Christ tells us of it. Then he goes on. The rest, he says, I say unto you, the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not known this doctrine, that wicked doctrine of Jezebel, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put none other on you, none other burden. Satan often comes in two ways. One, in as an angel of light, giving false doctrine, giving lies. As in the time of Jeremiah, we read they cried peace, peace, when there was no peace, and the people loved to have it so. It came from Satan. And the people loved it. It was smooth. They also said in the time of Isaiah, speak smooth things. Those were those that were under Satan's instigation and Satan's influence, wanting the lie and hating the truth. And then also we think of Satan as a roaring lion. There's many countries that are suffering today because Satan is going about as a roaring lion. Terrible, terrible killings. I just read this past week again of a man in Uganda having five children, caring for some other children that he took care of that didn't have a home, and because of his faith in Christ was killed. It's taking place in so many nations. It's Satan as a roaring lion, and it is Satan, not God. Not the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it must be recognized. There's one teaching that teaches particularly to kill. The Lord Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He warned against taking the sword. He said, those that take the sword will die by the sword. And there are many dying by the sword, one against another, of the same doctrine, the same lie, the same book, the same teaching, and are dying by the sword that they want to exercise against others, but many are doing it against one another terribly. Factions. Yes, it has been in the church as well, but not the true church, and not when a church is true to its master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas was one that wanted Christ killed, but terrible, filled with Satan. Satan took possession of him, and others have killed in the name of God, but they were not true to God. And we must recognize that. Satan comes in then, and the depths of Satan is there amongst those in the church, but it's not of the Bible. Yes, we may find some of those teachings in the Old Testament, but not with the Lord Jesus. Over and over he said, it has been said, hate your enemy, but I say unto you, do good unto them that despitefully use you, and he gives such teaching. And that is his way for today. And wherever that has been, otherwise it's wrong. It's not the teaching of Christ. And we must know it. And we can know it here from this letter as well. He does punish himself. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and we leave it in his hand when he has to do that. In judgment. And when, as with Judah of old, there was no remedy. And even the church at Rome, he gave warning of giving them over to a reprobate mind. God is sovereign. God has a right to show mercy or to harden and bring justice. But thankfully, even this church had grace, and we can be thankful for that grace today in Christ, through his word, by his spirit. And here we have some more of that grace when he says in the last part of that 24th verse, I will put none other burden on you, but that which you have. In the King James, this you have already, hold fast till I come. In the original Greek, it was simply, but that which you have, hold fast till I come. And that certainly gives the sense of what he is saying. Christ has given them what they needed, and he is saying, hold fast. Be a church till I return. What a blessing it will be for churches to continue in prayer, in teaching, in preaching the word. Teaching it in such a way, like on the day of Pentecost, we read they were added daily to the church such as should be saved. Oh, how we need to see that today. And it's not God's fault that it's not being done. It's our own lack of prayer, lack of preaching, lack of concern. Who is like Paul, even in his own family? He said, I have continual sorrow and heaviness for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, that they might be saved. Do we know that today as we should? It's a clear message in Scripture, a clear message from Christ. Paul was called Christ witness, and here John is being Christ witness to this church, then giving the promise in verse 26, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. That's the first thing we have to be, is overcomers of our own sin. Not just overcomers of the things outward, not just be overcomers of those that may persecute, but Satan first works within. And though Christ simply states here, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, power in the gospel like Paul preached it to nations, to leaders. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That is what we need in our nation, the United States of America. That's what we need for our leaders, not political parties that one will outpromise the other and all come short of doing that which is right for the nation and above all for God. We are in such a terrible state, but sadly, I fear, the church is what Christ warned against when he said that the church is a salt and a light. But he said, if the salt hath lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot. And in most of our ways, we are like that. We are not teaching our leaders like Paul did. Paul preached to Felix, and Felix trembled. Paul preached to Agrippa, and Agrippa said, almost thou makest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would that thou wast altogether such as one myself, except for these bonds, and not almost, but altogether one. And we should not stop till leaders are altogether in Christ with the rest of the nation. And that is something that we need to trust God for. We read here, to him that overcometh. If we go to the 12th chapter of Revelation, we read of some at that time, whoever they were, we're not sure that exactly what church or what place it was, but it's described as our brethren that Satan is casting down and accusing them, and then they're described as they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. When Christ tells us, to him that overcometh to the end and keepeth my words to the end, To him will I give power over the nations. He gives us power already to do it. He said just before his death, without me you can do nothing. And he stated just before his ascension, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And he will impart that power to us if we ask for it. And he gives it already initially when we become God's children. John writes, and I think I quoted it already in this message earlier, but I'll repeat it again, John 1:12, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And the 13th verse gives further explanation of how that takes place and the power that is already there, bringing us to that place, stating, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. God's power, stopping sinners, like he did Paul, stopping sinners and changing them, bringing them to the right place, even like John. One time they wanted to call fire down from heaven, and the Lord Jesus said, you know not what spirit you are of. We need to see that. We need to see the Spirit of Christ and have the Spirit of Christ, of which Paul writes, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Only through Christ can we have what we need for the glory of God. Only what we can have from Christ is for our own salvation, for the present and for eternal. And then only what we can have in Christ is for the good of the nation and the world. To him will I give power over the nations. Oh, pray that the church will once again have power in every nation and over the nations, that there might be through Christ peace on earth, goodwill toward men, in the home and the church and the nations.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.